everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today we have a fantastic show. We have very special guest, Nick Mianakis, who's a vice president of SGO Designer Glass. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk. So stick around because we got a great show.
I could see the city light. Was blowing, time stood still.
Unlock your earning potential with a business to call your own with the Papa Lock Franchise Opportunity. Founded in 1991 by former law enforcement officers in Lafayette, Louisiana, Papa Lock is recognized as the leading locksmith franchise in the world, with 3,600 trained techs and licensed locksmiths serving a total population of more than 150 million in over 3,400 cities. Papa Lock provides multiple revenue streams to franchisees, such as locksmithing and car door unlocking, high-tech key generation, emergency roadside assistance, and emergency car door unlocking. If you would like to examine the Papa Lock franchise opportunity in more detail, please go to our website, www.papalock.com. That's www.papalock.com. Or call 337-233-6211. That number again is 337-233-6211.
Lock up your future today with Papa Lock. Take control of your destiny and increase your quality of life with Allegra Print and Imaging. This light manufacturing, professional business-to-business franchise offers two unique opportunities to entrepreneurs with little or no industry experience. Our conversion opportunity is an existing business model that provides immediate cash flow, experienced staff, and an established customer base, while the low-investment digital print center opportunity meets the growing digital printing, sign, and mailing service demands of businesses in small and medium markets. Realize your dream of owning your own business with the comprehensive support of one of the world's top franchisers. Call 888-258-2730 or visit www.allegranetwork.com and discover the power in the network.
Hello, Service Brands International. I got a problem. The more time I spend pursuing success, the less time I have to enjoy it. What am I going to do?
Don't worry. You made the right call. Service Brands International, a leading multi-brand franchiser, offers a variety of proven home services franchises that are ideally positioned for today's time-starved consumers and are exceptionally efficient to operate, giving you the time to run your business and time to enjoy your success.
There's Molly Maid,
a residential cleaning franchise.
Mr. Handyman,
the franchise solution for residential and commercial fix-it problems.
1-800-DRY-CLEAN,
the affordable franchise opportunity offering quality dry cleaning with the convenience of free pickup and delivery.
And Ducts.
That's DUCTZ, meeting the need for improved indoor air quality. For more information on how a Service Brands franchise can provide a life worth living, visit servicebrands.com.
That's servicebrands.com.
To reach a show host or guest during the live show, dial toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. Or, if outside the USA and Canada, dial 001-858-268-3068.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by the Aaron Sales and Lease Ownership Franchise Opportunity. And Aaron's is a New York Stock Exchange-listed company and ranked number 58 among franchise chains in worldwide sales. Aaron's is reinventing the way a growing and underserved market acquires furniture, electronics, appliances, and computers. Now's a great time to join the Aaron's franchise family. And Don, welcome back on this Thursday, June 14th of 2007. The week has just flown by, hasn't it, my friend?
Yeah, we're already getting into the summer already.
It's incredible.
Time is going by pretty quickly. My week's going pretty well. Pretty busy at work. Unfortunately, with a lot of work comes a lot of stress, but
yes.
That's life. It sounded that way yesterday when I spoke to you. You know, it sounded like it was a little crazy over there. The phone's ringing, and so that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, yeah, I'd rather be busier than vice versa.
Absolutely, absolutely. Last show, Don, we got to meet with Bill Repack of the franchise specialist. And what were your thoughts on last week's show?
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's a real veteran in franchise business. I mean, he's been in the industry, over 25 years, this company, a nice guy. It's interesting. He helps both franchisors and franchisees. A lot of franchise specialist consultants usually will just specialize in doing one or the other. I mean, he's on both sides.
And he's doing both. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought he was a very intelligent fellow. You know, I think last week's show gave entrepreneurs an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at as far as, you know, how some businesses become franchises. You know, he gave us that, like, behind-the-scenes look.
That perspective, we've never had that before.
We
haven't,
yeah.
Speaking about that, yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. You know, I just had one quote from him. He said, if your present business is successful, profitable, and teachable to others, you may have the basis to consider franchising. However, an in-depth study of your particular business is necessary to determine its suitability for franchising. If your business has distinctive features that fill a certain need or niche in the marketplace, it may be right for franchising. Think about McDonald's. They didn't invent the hamburger. Rather, they offered a limited menu, fast service, and low affordable prices. These were the distinctive or niche features, and they say the rest is history. You know, so I thought it was a very informative show, you know. And for our listeners listening today, if you missed the show last week with Bill Repack, you know, just go back and listen to the audio archives, and you can hear the whole show.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, what have we got going on today, Don?
Yeah, today we're meeting with Nick Neonakis, who I know, great guy. He's with the Franchise Opportunity SGO Designer Glass. SGO stands for Stained Glass Overlay.
Right.
And they're an international franchise company based in Orange, California, founded in 1974. Pretty impressive. The company began franchising its multi-patented designer glass process in 81. SGO has over 150 locations in the United States and Canada and strong representation in 35 other countries around the world.
That's right.
We look forward to hearing all about Nick's franchise. Next week, Marty, we'll be meeting with a client of the Franchise Edge Company, and they're called Eola Wine Company.
That should be interesting.
So, here's a franchise.
Another different concept, you know?
Yeah, just in the wine. At Eola Wine Company, they have over 70 wines by the glass, 11 wine flights, over 30 boutique micro-brewed bottled beers, tapas and desserts. They have over 350 retail selections and take home a bottle.
Interesting.
All about that, yeah. And then the week after that, Marty, we're going to be meeting with the Alternative Board.
That's great.
I'll be meeting with Jason Zickerman, the President and Chief Operating Officer, and also Blair Koch. He's a franchisee, or also called TAB Certified Facilitator and SBL Certified Coach. The Alternative Board, or TAB, is the world's largest franchisor of peer advisory board services and business coaching.
Yeah, they have a really neat concept on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having those guys on the show.
And they're ranked in the Entrepreneur Franchise 500. TAB franchise owners have a unique opportunity to apply their business experience and expertise to help their local business community. As a TAB franchisee, you will chair group meetings of owners, CEOs, and presidents of privately owned companies. In addition to doing that, you will also provide individual coaching sessions using TAB's proprietary tools and processes. As a coach, you will help owners define their personal business visions, assisting them in strategically leading their businesses to greater success. That's in a few weeks. We look forward to hearing all about that.
Right. And that's a great service too, Don. You know, I mean, again, you know, you and I working, with a lot of small businesses, so you can say, you know, a lot of them could use a business coach or this kind of service. You know, it's so I'm really looking forward to having those guys on the show.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So
that's great. I have a press release, Don, from one of our former guests. I don't know if you remember Cartridge World.
Yeah.
And this is, it says, independent test shows consumers prefer Cartridge World, Inc. over OEMs. OEMs, in that industry, stands for Original Equipment Manufacturer. And it's from Emeryville, California. Inks supplied by third-party suppliers such as Cartridge World have produced better quality results than higher-priced inks supplied by printer manufacturers. According to an inkjets shootout arranged by the authoritative technology review website, TrustedReviews.com. The test findings help disprove claims made by printing manufacturers regarding the supposed
inferior quality of third-party ink and should help convince consumers that they can reduce their print cost without sacrificing quality. You know, I imagine you guys go through a lot of toner down there at Diamond Financial, Don, you know.
Yeah,
the same
definitely.
Thing up here, you know.
Yeah, we use Cartridge World,
right.
And we help finance them, or, you know, very successful franchise. And,
absolutely.
You know, of course, we interviewed them a little ways back.
This was interesting, though, how they, you know, went to, you know, kind of like prove their case. It says, a judging panel made up of typical print users was was then asked to rank and score 230 different print results that were produced using different combinations of printer, ink, and paper. Despite the printing manufacturers' claim that the print quality may be impaired if consumers use unbranded consumables in their machines, the test panel found the opposite. According to the report's author, our panel preferred prints produced with ink from third-party providers over those produced with manufacturers' own products. Other key findings that emerged from the test says, with each printing manufacturer, third-party ink and paper combinations won more top scores than prints produced with own brand inks and papers. Cartridge World inks outperformed the printer manufacturers' ink in the Canon, Epson, and HP printers. So good for them, you know. I mean, that's
right.
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Fantastic franchise. You know, what I always liked about Cartridge World, Don, is that they were serving a couple different markets. You know, they had that business-to-business, and they also had business-to-consumer, you know. So,
right, because so many people have, obviously, a computer and printer at
absolutely.
Home, so,
you know,
yeah.
I said, God, look at the market. You know,
right.
It's huge. You know, you see that franchise just keeps on growing. So,
and I think when we spoke to Greg Carafello, area developer for the whole state of New Jersey.
We did. We had him on the show, I think it was about 3 months ago, maybe. Can't even remember, but it was a fantastic interview, I remember.
Yeah, but I remember he mentioned that still their percentage of the business they have is still such a low number. There's still so much room for growth.
It is. It's incredible if you think about it, you know. So
yeah.
I think that was one of those franchises at the end of the show. I think you and I do this a lot. I say, wow, you know,
right.
Why don't we
yeah.
one of those things.
Tell a friend or relative to go buy.
Exactly. It happens a lot, you know. Yeah. Tell your dad, you know, to...
Yeah.
So anyway, I know there's some interesting news clips and current events happening in the world of franchising as well, Don.
Yeah, here's something, Marty, through WashingtonPost.com and Newsweek. Franchising evangelist has tasted success and wants to pass it on, dated Monday, June 11th. Richard Sharoff had just sold his 21 Boston Market restaurants and was trolling for the next big thing about 10 years ago when he happened to cross a small chain of underperforming Kansas City ice cream shops in need of some marketing. The stores were poorly located, away from pedestrian and auto traffic. The black and white decor was not inviting to the customer. Marketing was non-existent, and the employees were poorly trained. But the chain had two things going for it, Marty. He says, great ice cream and the name Maggie Moo's.
Right.
Franchise I'm very familiar with. We've mentioned them in the past.
Yes, we have, yeah.
He says the name was awesome and the product was simply incredible, said Sharoff of Annapolis. In spite of all the poor execution, there was surprisingly guest loyalty. This was a marketing man's dream, and I dove in head first, he says. Sharoff bought the Maggie Moo's brand name, its franchise agreements, and its ice cream recipes. We essentially paid nothing up front, he said. The founders got a modest consulting fee and were promised to share future earnings. He moved the headquarters to Columbia, Maryland, started making the ice cream fresh at each store, and he started marketing. He hired a cartoonist and a design firm to create Maggie the Cow.
That's right,
part of their franchises, their...
The mascot.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if you remember, Don, at the show this year in D.C., they had the mascot.
That was me.
That you?
Yeah,
I thought it was
me.
You.
They paid me that day. No,
I couldn't find you. There you go.
There was a costume Maggie at every store opening, a la Ronald McDonald, to compare it, and Maggie bought ice cream and cake to kids' birthday parties. The small Kansas City herd of ice cream parlors grew into Maggie Moo's International, one of the new breed of hand-rolled premium ice cream stores that include Cold Stone Creamery and Marble Slab Creamery. He took what was a plain vanilla small franchise concept, developed a real brand concept, developed the Maggie of Maggie Moo's, and recognized the need for brand image to help the system, said Mark Kirsch, a lawyer for DLA Piper, who specializes in franchising. By the time Sharoff left the company in 2003 after a disagreement with board of directors for future expansion, Maggie Moo's had more than 100 stores. The company eventually grew to 184 stores in 36 states, and was sold in February to NextSend Brands for about $16
million. Wow.
But I've been working with Maggie Moo's, of course, on the financing end for at least 5 years.
Right.
As they were starting out, and I've seen their growth.
this is an interesting story, and, you know, let's see if we can get them, possibly Mr. Sheriff to come on the show.
We should, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to set that up, you know, because I think that would be, it's an interesting story. And, you know, I tell you, when I was in D.C. and I tried their product on, it's just one of those things that you say, wow, you know, it was it's really fantastic. So.
Yeah, I like how he's been a franchisee and then built up the Maggie Moves, and looks like he's, of course, a real entrepreneur. Here's something, Marty, out of the Arizona Republic, dated June 12th, through Bloomberg News, says Starbucks may lose coffee drinkers to McDonald's.
Yeah, I heard something about this, yeah.
Yeah, Starbucks Corp., the world's largest chain of coffee shops, may see sales slow as people increasingly turn to McDonald's Corp. for their daily brew, a Deutsche Bank Securities Inc. analyst said. Mark Greenberg, who's based in New York, cut his target price for Starbucks shares by 14% to 32 from 37. He said McDonald's switched to a new coffee blend last year has improved its reputation among consumers. The coffee house is facing a new world order, Greenberg wrote in a note late Friday. McDonald's is the very last company we would choose as competition for Starbucks.
That's incredible. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? You know, I know you're not a big coffee drinker, Don, but, you know, when I heard something about this, you know, I tried McDonald's coffee, and I tell you, it's fantastic. It definitely goes head-to-head with Starbucks, so it's at half the price. So.
That's what they say here. It says McDonald's, which reported monthly sales today in that rose the most in 3 years, is selling iced coffee and other specialty brews at some U.S. stores. In February, Consumer Reports magazine ranked McDonald's coffee ahead of Starbucks, saying it tastes better and costs less. That's a big statement, too. I mean, here's Starbucks.
It's a very big statement. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they kind of did what Cartridge World did. You know, they did like a third-party test, you know, and when it was McDonald's coffee versus Starbucks, McDonald's actually came out ahead, if you can imagine that. So Starbucks, you know, I think they were, you know, like anything else, you know, a company, sometimes they're on top of the world and maybe they get comfortable.
Right.
And, you know, but I think competition is really good, you know, for business overall, because it does make you work harder. You know, we had Badass Coffee on the show, what was it, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and again, they're certainly going to go head to head with Starbucks, absolutely.
Yeah, these specialty coffee chains, the big boys like McDonald's, you know, certainly a lot of competition for Starbucks.
Absolutely.
McDonald's coffee has surprisingly high appeal, with 35% of consumers surveyed by the bank saying McDonald's brew got better in the past year. So interesting story, which kind of leads me into this other story through the New York Times and Reuters. This is out in the Far East, Marty. Some of the world's top donut chains have come rolling into China, Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan, and elsewhere in the region as Asians embrace the Western fast food fad. We've talked about this in the past, where some franchisors have had trouble going out there and having success, or just outside the U.S. in general. Chains like Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donuts, and Mr. Donut are setting up shop in a region not known for its sweet tooth, reflecting a growing openness to foreign foods and rising living standards, according to the chains and consumers who sometimes wait in line for hours for the treats.
Right, right.
In a twist on the common snack in the West, the chains say they are filling a growing demand for high-end treats that can double as gifts as well as snacks.
That's something.
So, I mean, I know from going to Dunkin' Donuts, I think even for a Christmas gift for my wife, I think I bought her, like, coffee, you know, some type of mug and some gifts. A lot of these places have gifts besides just buying the coffee and donuts.
It's interesting. Did you mention Krispy Kreme in that list?
Yes.
That's, you know, because it's interesting because I know Krispy Kreme has been having some growing pains and problems here in the United States, you know, so
right.
It kind of makes sense to say, you know what, let's take this concept international, and, you know, here you go mentioning that, you know, countries like Japan have embraced them, you know, so that's
right.
An interesting strategy for growth.
It says here, they're pretty good, they're okay for you if you don't eat too many, says Tim, a teenage schoolgirl scanning the showcase as the first Dunkin' Donuts in Taipei on a recent afternoon.
Oh, gee. You know, it's funny because as you think about it, you know, because, you know, you can see it, what's happened to our culture in the United States, you know, there's been tremendous weight gain, you know, there's a lot of people overweight. That you wonder
right.
if that could happen in a place like Japan, you know, where they're very fit, you know, due to their diets and things like that, you know. So you,
right.
I don't know if that's the best thing for that country, having all these donut shops move over there. But, you know, that's great, though. It's good for those franchises.
Also, following its arrival in Taiwan, Late last year, the U.S. chain now has 5 stores in Taiwan, is aiming by 10 by year-end, has about $6 million in sales. Our first store exceeded our targets with average sales of 15 to 20,000 donuts a day, says spokeswoman Ivy Pai of Mercury's and Associates, which is Dunkin's Taiwan partner. Dunkin' Donuts joins Japanese chain Mr. Donut, a unit of Dunkin' Company Limited, which entered Taiwan in late 2004 and plans to boost its store count there to 100 by the end of 2009. 6 months after entering Japan late last year, Krispy Kreme still draws crowds to its stores following an early rush that saw hundreds of people sometimes waiting up to 2 hours to buy donuts.
2 hours?
I like donuts, but...
Yeah, could you imagine that? I mean, that's what happened to, I think, McDonald's when they first moved into Russia. There was, like, lines down the block, you know, so...
Krispy Kreme's also making waves in South Korea and Hong Kong, entering the former in late 2004, and I guess late last year as well.
Right.
I've read in the papers that the donut market is growing by 20 to 30% every year, Lee said. So
amazing,
it's interesting what's going on over there.
That's incredible. All right, good. That's a great article. I think what we'll do here, Don, is we'll take a break. I know Nick is in the studio.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
Create a rewarding future for you and your family as an Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership franchisee. Aaron's is changing the way a growing and underserved market acquires necessities like furniture, appliances, electronics, and computers. The Aaron's franchise opportunity offers today's entrepreneurs you potential for profits and growth. Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership is a division of Aaron's Rents Incorporated, a New York Stock Exchange-listed company with more than 50 years of enviable results. Aaron's is ranked number one in its category by Entrepreneur Magazine and 58th among franchise chains in worldwide sales by Franchise Times magazine. Aaron's provides site selection assistance, comprehensive training, and traffic building marketing programs. Additionally, as a franchisee, you'll benefit from their national reputation, industry experience, operating systems, and manufacturing and distribution methods. For more information on the Aaron's franchise opportunity, call 1-800-551-6015. That's 1-800-551-6015, or go to aaronsfranchise.com. That's AARONS franchise.com.
Experience the rewards of franchising with the Franchise Edge.
Are you considering franchising your business? Are you wondering about the risk and reward of franchising versus opening additional company-owned locations?
Not every business is right for franchising.
The Franchise Edge helps you evaluate the often complicated franchising process to see if it's a good fit for your business. The Franchise Edge team has experience as multi-unit company store operators, as well as franchisers and franchisees. We understand what it takes to successfully franchise a business and how to get our clients where they want to be. Let us help you answer the key questions.
Is my business franchisable?
Should I open more company locations or franchise?
How much will it cost to franchise?
Is it more profitable to franchise or expand internally?
What is required to franchise?
What is the timeline for franchising a business?
If franchising is the right direction for your company, the Franchise Edge can help you every step of the way, including
reviewing your current business model, fulfilling legal requirements, operations manuals, marketing materials, marketing plan, and selling franchises.
The Franchise Edge also works with individuals who are interested in buying a franchise. We represent a wide range of franchises, including pregnancy spas, restaurants, wine bars, and home service franchises. Let our experienced sales team help find the franchise that fits your interest.
Don't gamble with your future. Put the Franchise Edge to work for you.
Call 813-935-5087 for a free consultation. That's 813-935-5087.
Or go to our website at www.thefranchiseedge.com and complete the online form. That's www.thefranchiseedge.com.
Ready for a great tasting dessert that's much better for you and your kids? Try the Miami Rice Pudding Company. Miami Rice Pudding Company offers over 35 flavors of rice pudding delivered in cups or cones with a customer's choice of toppings. This unbelievable franchise opportunity is introducing this great dessert concept to the malls, airports, art shows, and similar venues in your market. Miami Rice Pudding's goal is to help franchisees bring the healthy joy of flavored rice pudding to the world. Join our franchise system and open in your market with a low investment and operate both the fixed location and mobile units. Our system requires minimal food preparation and our pudding has a long shelf life. Mall chains are eager for us to expand to their locations because we're unique, competitive, nutritious, and a fun concept. Call us today, toll free at 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. That's 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. Or go to our website at MiamiRicePudding.com. That's MiamiRicePudding.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by the Aaron Sales and Lease Ownership Franchise Opportunity. And Aaron's is a New York Stock Exchange-listed company ranked number 58 among franchise chains and worldwide sales. Aaron's is reinventing the way a growing and underserved market acquires furniture, electronics, appliances, and computers. Now's a great time to join the Aaron's franchise family. And today's guest is Nick Neonakis, who's the Vice President of SGO Designer Glass. And SGO is an international franchise company based in Orange, California, and they're a world leader in decorative glass design and installation. And their decorative glass works for any room in your home, office, place of worship, schools, and many different commercial and institutional locations. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Marty and Don. How are you?
Thanks, Nick. Good today. I know it's a little early there.
Oh, it's not too bad. Only about 7:30 out here in beautiful, sunny California.
There you go. Rub it in, Nick.
Oh, come on. It's the right time of year.
Don, I know you wanted to say hi to Nick.
Yeah. Welcome. Hey, Nick. Appreciate you coming on the show. And yeah, as I told you, Marty, Nick and I have known each other for a few years now.
Right.
As always, Nick, appreciate the business. It's been nice working with you. And I've always been impressed with your franchise. You know, so niche and so unique. You know, I know people listening are going to look forward to hearing all about SGO.
Yeah, it's really an amazing concept, and you know, it's everywhere around us. I always tell people you've probably walked past or under one of the projects that our franchisees have done, but you never knew about it.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, I was even talking to Don this morning, Nick. You know, as I was looking out, you know, my window, where I live, Easton, Pennsylvania is in the horizon, and there's like about 20 churches in Easton, you know, and I said, God, I said, all those churches have stained glass, you know, so you're right, it's like, it's all around us.
That's right.
It's incredible. Nick, can you tell the listeners what you were doing before joining SGO Designer Glass?
Sure. Well, maybe to tell you a little bit also about the company, you know,
sure.
We're a full-service custom decorative glass business.
Okay.
So we provide different types of decorative glass for a wide range of clients. Now, my background is I was brought into SGO a couple of years back when we were owned by a publicly traded company called First Service.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably familiar with First Service,
right.
Marty and Don. You know, we owned about 20 different concepts there, like California Closets,
right.
CertaPro Painters, College Pro Painters, Neutralon, Action Window Cleaners,
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of different home services-oriented franchises. And so we bought SGO back in 99. Put in a new management team, and then they brought me in to write and implement the marketing plan for SGO.
Right.
Because as we were changing the sort of the direction of the company, we needed a couple of new bodies on board. So I came in. Prior to franchising, my background was primarily in finance and marketing, and I grew up on the East Coast and worked out there at Morgan Stanley and at Charles Schwab at the World Trade Center. Before moving out west after getting my MBA.
I think that's why you and I have gotten along, Nick, East Coast, and used to be in finance.
Right.
Me.
Yeah. And grew up in Jersey.
Yeah, I said to you yesterday, Nick, I said I detect a slight Jersey accent.
Can you describe the history of the organization, Nick? I know you guys have a nice and long history as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, SGO was founded back in the 70s by a couple named Don and Dee Butler. And they came up with the concept of taking Mylar films, coloring and texturizing them to make it look like the type of glass used in traditional stained glass. And then these pieces of Mylar that have an adhesive back would be cut and literally peeled and stuck onto a piece of glass to make it look like traditional stained glass.
Right.
They had a very successful franchise. They started franchising in 1981 and started expanding all over the country and really all over the world. We do business in 37 countries. And then in the mid-80s, a gentleman named Pete Shea, who some of you might be familiar with, he's the owner of Entrepreneur Media, publisher of Entrepreneur Magazine, bought SGO from the Butlers and continued to run it. And then in 1999, First Service Corporation came and purchased it. Now, about 2 years ago, Mike Cassidy, who's the CEO of the company, took SGO private and asked me to stick around and do a couple of other things at the company as well. So that's sort of, in a nutshell, the history of SGO.
That's fantastic. And you said 37 countries, Nick. I mean, some of those countries, I was looking at the list. I mean, it's incredible. You know, Madagascar and it's really all over the place. Romania, Portugal. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, you know, glass is everywhere. I mean,
it's universal, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's universal. I mean, it really is. It's all over the world, if you think about it.
It is. I mean, every single structure that we inhabit has glass in it.
Right.
And, you know, our mission is to make some of that glass more beautiful. And so what our franchisees do is work with all the different people that are associated with buildings. These are architects, builders, interior designers, kitchen and bath businesses, window and door dealers like Pella, Marvin, Milgard, and then businesses that sell flat glass. You know, the kind of glass, if a kid threw a rock through your window,
right?
Where would you go to get it fixed? So our franchisees go out and work with these people, and these businesses are everywhere. I mean, every single country in the world has these professions. And we set up a studio in our territories, in the franchise territories, that looks kind of like an art gallery of decorative glass. So it's very different from what people traditionally think a glass business will look like.
You know, right, right.
When you go into an SGO business, it feels like you're in an art gallery.
Mm.
And there are many different types of glass and different types of situations, from countertops and windows and stair treads and floors and side lights and cabinet doors and transoms. Anywhere that you can think of black work going, we have different types of glass. Now, the range of products that we offer is huge. You know, starting in the 70s from the overlay product that we invented, since then we've diversified the company into areas like traditional stained glass, etched glass, carved glass, fused, slumped, beveled, types of textures and laminates, all kinds of different types of glass. And so you're absolutely right. It is something that has universal appeal. And the countries that we operate in are staggering. You know, one of the areas that we really have planned for expansion is South America. And so one of the things I've been working on is our South American expansion in conjunction with some of our Central American franchisees. We have franchises in Guatemala, Honduras, Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Mexico, and so on. And in South America, you were talking earlier about some of your donut concepts that are expanding internationally.
Right.
Here's an interesting fact. There are over 60 cities in South America that have over 1 million population.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay. Just the county of Sao Paulo in Brazil has over 40 million inhabitants.
That's amazing.
You know, and so when you look at the opportunities, not only in the United States, but also globally,
right,
it really is extraordinary.
I think, Nick, the franchisee, you know, right off the bat, with all those different types of professionals that they can align themselves
right
with to start getting business, I mean, I, You know, that's an interesting point, just, you know, right there.
Yeah, and, you know, for us, it does a couple of different things. I think, you know, it's very important to know who your target client is, whether you're selling donuts, and I think, Don, you were saying that, you know, you bought your wife, last-minute gifts at Dunkin' Donuts. You know, you need to know who is it that's your customer. So if, let's say, Dunkin' Donuts, right before the holidays, they say, hey, there are going to be people that need a couple of, you know, extra little gifts. Let's put some signs up and let's you know, cross-merchandise some things. So who's your client? And with our business, we know exactly who our client is. And so in selecting franchisees and for franchisees to select us, it becomes a really straightforward system of working backwards from who's the client. And the thing I always say is there are really two areas that the franchisor and the prospective franchisee are trying to answer. Is there a market here? Can I make money doing it? And am I going to be any good at it? Right?
Right.
And so what we do is something called a market validation, where before we offer a franchise to somebody or ask for any commitment from them, we go to the market together with them. And we'll go and set up appointments with the architects and the builders and the designers, all the people that we do business with. And then we'll go and put presentations on as if our candidate was a franchisee.
Right.
And so we can both gauge what's the level of demand, because after we show them our glass product, we're going to ask them some very straightforward questions. Like, do you have a need for decorative glass in your business, Mrs. Architect?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, how many times a month does that come up? And do you have a source in this market that you work with currently for decorative glass? And if not, if we set up a location here, will you do business with us?
Right.
And so we both get to see, is there a market? And then also, can our prospective franchisee do it? Some people can, some people can't. And so certainly to all of your listeners, I would say, you know, I think one of the most important aspects of getting into business is know who your client is and test the waters before you go in for a real deep swim.
That's interesting. I guess that's why you've had such success, Nick, building up the number of franchisees, doing that amount of homework, investing so much time before you even see if that franchisee in that area is a right fit.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I tell you, it brings up some really pretty interesting situations when you're going out all over the world, really, you know, and meeting with all kinds of people. It's a lot of fun.
How would you describe, Nick, the SDO Designer Glass franchise system? You talked about kind of what you do before someone becomes a franchisee. You know, how about the system itself?
Well, it's a really very entrepreneurial, marketing-oriented, creative group of business people. The people that are drawn to SGO are people who they enjoy working with other people. They're very professional. They usually have some sort of marketing or management, white-collar background, but their entire life they've had an artistic itch that they've always wanted to scratch. And so this allows them to really work both sides of their brain, you know, the right side and the left side, in a business that they love, creating beautiful projects, working with amazing people throughout their community, and being known as the decorative glass source in a market.
Most of the franchisees will do a lot of, you know, the work, the actual designing of the glass, or is that for people they hire?
Well, it's split into two areas. The designing of the glass, typically our franchisees do it with a CAD system, a computer-aided drafting system that is part of the SGO franchise. So on site, when we're talking with somebody, we can go in and design a project from really anything. We have the largest design library in the world of decorative glass designs. And so if, let's say that we're sitting down together to do a window in your home, and the style of your home is a Frank Lloyd Wright Mission Prairie style home. We can go into that portion of our library, and there are thousands of designs in there. And then we could take a picture, a digital picture of the window in the room that you're looking to put this work into, and then we can start putting in different decorative glass designs into your actual window so you can see what it's going to look like before anything happens. Now, from there, depending on the type of glass that we're going to be using, either our studio, our franchise studio, is going to make it, but not the owner, a fabricator, somebody who's, I guess you were talking before about McDonald's. I guess it would be the folks who are working at the McDonald's are the people that in our studios are making the glass.
Right.
That's not where the value is created. The value is in marketing and networking and selling the project. If it's something like traditional stained glass, then we're going to have that outsourced because there's a very high labor component in that.
Yeah, it's interesting, Nick, because, I mean, stained glass is an old concept, you know, but what you guys are doing is you're applying 21st technology to the whole thing, you know. It really is fascinating.
Yeah.
I saw a woman on HGTV as well, Nick, you know, how the whole thing, you know, works, where she kind of, as you said, she comes into like an art studio, you know, she sits down and she kind of goes through the different colors and things like that. I think she was improving her bathroom.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's actually one of the areas. We do a lot of marketing on behalf of our franchisees, national marketing, and HGTV and the Learning Channel are some of our great partners in that. You know, we place product onto shows like Curb Appeal and Kitchen Trends, Extreme Makeover, which is probably the most famous of all of those shows. Yeah, so
it's great PR for you guys.
Oh, it's amazing PR. And, you know, our franchisees, what we do is we market to the production companies that do those projects.
Right.
Then when a project comes up, it might be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so we'll set up our local franchisee in Tulsa with that project, and then we underwrite the cost of the project, and we both get some amazing PR out of it.
That's fantastic. Nick, are you able to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. So I think what we'll do here is we'll take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
G'day, mate. Want to explore owning your own business? Yearn for the adventure of being the first in a new concept? You'll go positively ape over a Jungle Quest franchise. Beyond bouncing balls and inflatables, it's an indoor rock climbing and challenge course for kids. For ages 2 to 12, the center features zip lines, Burma bridges, swings, rock walls, tree houses, and tunnels. For 12 years, Jungle Quest has served 30,000 explorers with drop-ins and birthday parties, field trips, and camps. Now available as a franchise. Go to junglequest.net for more information. That's junglequest.net.
Create a rewarding future for you and your family as an Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership franchisee. Aaron's is changing the way a growing and underserved market acquires necessities like furniture, appliances, electronics, and computers. The Aaron's franchise opportunity offers today's entrepreneurs, you, potential for profits and growth. Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership is a division of Aaron's Rents Incorporated, a New York Stock Exchange-listed company with more than 50 years of enviable results. Aaron's is ranked number one in its category by Entrepreneur Magazine and 58th among franchise chains in worldwide sales by Franchise Times Magazine.
Aaron's provides site selection assistance, comprehensive training, and traffic building marketing programs. Additionally, as a franchisee, you'll benefit from their national reputation, industry experience, operating systems, and manufacturing and distribution methods. For more information on the Aaron's franchise opportunity, call 1-800-551-6015. That's 1-800-551-6015. Or go to aaronsfranchise.com. That's AARONS franchise.com.
Tap into a $41 billion a year industry with Garlic Jim's. Did you know Americans eat about 100 acres of pizza every single day, or about 350 slices per second? Garlic Jim's has spent years looking high and low for a higher quality pizza that is delivered quick enough so that you're still hungry when it arrives. Garlic Jim's makes the most delicious gourmet pizza and at the same time provides excellent and fast service to your door. Garlic Jim's has perfected the science of prompt pizza delivery by learning and experimenting. The exciting twist to this is great pizza. Never again will you have to choose between great pizza and great service. Are you interested in owning a Garlic Jim's? We're currently accepting applications to participate in our exciting world of gourmet pizza delivery and carryout. Talk to us and find out how we sold nearly 100 franchises in 6 states in our first 2.5 years of operation. To get started right away, go to www.garlicjims.com. That's www.garlicjims.com. Or call us 425-918-1900. That's 425-918-1900. Garlic Jim's.
To reach a show host or guest during the live show, dial toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. Or, if outside the USA and Canada, dial 001-858-268-3068.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by the Aaron Sales and Lease Ownership Franchise Opportunity. And Aaron's is a New York Stock Exchange-listed company and ranked number 58 among franchise chains and worldwide sales. Aaron's is reinventing the way a growing and underserved market acquires furniture, electronics, appliances, and computers. Now's a great time to join the Aaron's franchise family. And today's guest is Nick Neonakis, who's the Vice President of SGO Designer Glass. And Don, I think you're up. I think we wanted to talk to Nick a little bit about the industry in general.
Yeah, Nick, tell us how big the industry is.
Sure. Well, we are a part of the remodeling and construction market. In the United States, that's about a $240 billion market. Glass, decorative glass, is probably somewhere in the $40 billion range. So it's a big, big market.
Wow, yeah. $40 billion, wow.
That's a big market. Awesome. Nick, what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since getting involved with SGO Designer Glass? I imagine there's a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the whole... working with the franchisees and growing the company has been just such a tremendous experience. And working with entrepreneurs who are driven and dedicated to grow their businesses alongside with us. In terms of exciting things, there have been so many different initiatives, trade shows, marketing, that we've seen. I'll tell you a funny story, which is kind of, I think, an interesting thing. We're working with some folks down in Ecuador to put some businesses down in there. And so I flew down to Ecuador to work with them. And we went out for a big meal, to kind of welcome me to the country and to meet all their associates. So they leaned over and said, "Tonight we'll be having the food of our ancestors."
I said, "Oh, boy."
And they said, "Kui." I said, "Oh, what's that?" I said, "Oh, you'll see." And so it came out and it was guinea pigs.
Really? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's the national food. And it wasn't that bad.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And that must be interesting for you, Nick. I guess, you know, I was going to ask you earlier on in the show if you get to actually go to all these different countries, you know. It must be a fantastic job.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's incredible. What kind of characteristics do you think make a successful SGO designer glass franchisee, Nick?
Well, you know, I think it's the same kinds of characteristics that make a successful franchisee in any professional level organization. It's somebody who is, number one, very comfortable working with people. They're not shy people. They like going out. They like meeting people. They like making networks of connections, maintaining those. And at the same time, they have that creative side. But it's not so much that it overshadows their business side, okay? Because what we found is if somebody is too much of an artist in our business, they're going to spend all day drawing and making beautiful designs and not enough time working on the business. So number one, marketing and sales. Number two is that creative orientation.
Right. You have to find that right mix. That's a good point. Someone who has the skill of the designing, and you know, obviously the most important thing is to keep the business going, sales and all that. So that must be pretty tough finding that type of person.
Well, you know, it is, and we are always looking for the right partners to come and join us. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we put a lot of time into the front end, perhaps more than many other franchisors, to really understand, is there a market here and will this person succeed? And we're the ones who pay for a lot of that.
Right. You know, talk about training a little bit, Nick. You know, how is that for a franchisee?
Sure. Well, you know, it starts even before we offer a franchise by going out to their local market to, you know, really see is there a market there. I mean, to give you a sense, next week I'll be out in Mississippi looking at a market with a client.
Yeah.
From there, we need about a month to do all of the groundwork. So once everybody agrees this is the right business for everybody to be into, we need about 1 month to work with our now new franchisee to do the studio site selection, the competitive analysis, the pricing. All of that happens before they come to a two-week training in California at our facilities, where we go over every aspect of the business, the marketing, the sales, the operations, fabrication, everything. Then we have a one-year startup program that every new franchisee is automatically enrolled in, and every single week, they work with their franchise coach to make sure that their business is tracking on the right way. And the way that we ensure that is during training, we build two plans, a business plan and a marketing plan. And the business plan, basically, we break the first year up into the 52 weeks, and then each week gets a dollar value of what they need to do gross revenue-wise. The marketing plan is the qualitative side, what steps they need to do to hit their target. And then when they leave training, they keep a copy and we keep a copy, and then that's what our startup people work with our franchisees on to make sure that they're hitting their goals every step of the way.
I think that's great how detailed the goals you've set for them are.
Well, you know, we're big believers. If you can measure it, you can manage it.
So you'll know, since you're basing it on a weekly basis, you'll, you know, say after a month, if there's not hitting numbers, you'll find it early on.
That's right. You know, our motto at SGO is we want to know about the problem when it's a little tiny baby problem.
Right.
You know, a six-month-old problem in a startup business, that's a big, big problem.
I would agree, absolutely.
And what's a typical day like as an SGO franchisee? I think you talked about it a little bit. I guess they're doing a little selling, handling the business, doing design work. But I'm sure there's a few other things, Nick.
Yeah, well, you know, usually a typical day is going to be going into the studio, opening it up, having the employees come in, taking a look, you know, at the fax machine, see if any orders have come in from partners, and then spending about half the day outside of the business, going out and visiting the different business relationships, you know, the architects, the designers, the builders, and so on, that we set up relationships with to bring them up to speed on new products or projects, things of that nature. then heading back to the studio and maybe having some client interactions, overseeing the fabricators, and then at the end of the day, maybe overseeing an installation or two that's happening, making sure the clients are happy with it, and then closing up shop.
Right. So every day is a little different, but of course very interesting. So.
Yeah. If you get bored easily, we've got an interesting opportunity for you.
Right.
That's something. Yeah, you know, and one of the things about, you know, these colors, Nick, is, you know, the colors and patterns enhance a room or building. You know, it certainly gives it, I think as you mentioned earlier, like character, so you could say, you know?
Yeah, it really does. You know, it allows you to personalize a space.
Absolutely. It becomes your own.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the same that whether it's a home or whether it's a commercial institution or a religious facility, you know, everybody is looking to make their spaces theirs.
Right.
And so that's really what we specialize in. You know, whether it's a church or a synagogue or a mosque or a casino or a hotel or a private residential home, we have products that can make any of them more beautiful.
Right, absolutely. What are SGO's plans for the future, Nick? How far, how big would you guys like to get?
Well, you know, we see a big, wide world out there of different areas that we are interested in growing into. In the United States, we have lots of availability. We have currently about 160 franchise territories in the United States, and we have room for about another 120, and then we'll be sold out. Internationally, lots and lots of opportunity.
That's fantastic.
And you have a real nice website, by the way.
I've
seen it before. I was really looking at it today in detail. It's just a very nice website, Nick.
Thanks. Yeah, sgodesignerglass.com.
All right. What is the best way to get in touch with you, Nick, for you know our listeners who want more information on SGO?
Well, you can call me personally.
Okay.
At 800-944-4746. That's Nick Neonakis. 800-944-4746, or you can go onto our website, sgodesignerglass.com, and go to the Contact Us section. You can also see all of the studios that we have in the United States and worldwide on that website.
That's fantastic.
Quick question, Nick. Do you have any designer glass in your home?
I absolutely do. In fact,
I'm hoping
you beginning
said
that. Of the program, yeah. That was the what I was describing. I live in a mission-style home, and we have a tremendously beautiful door, mission-style door that we put in.
That's fantastic. Well, Nick, I want to thank you again. You've been a fantastic guest, and we're certainly going to have you back in the near future. And we're going to keep our eye on your franchise. You know, I expect great things from you guys.
Thanks so much, Marty and Don. And for 30-plus years, we've been making great things happen.
That's fantastic. You have a great day, Nick, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you,
Nick. Thanks for coming
on. Thanks, Nick.
Have a good day. Talk to you soon.
Great concept, huh, Don?
Yeah. It's just so interesting. I mean, we've talked about the franchise industry, how many different industries and how niche it's become. This is a good example of a niche-type franchise, but one that's been around for years.
Right, absolutely.
And I'm really impressed. You know, you think of stained glass, okay, do work for churches, and I'm just impressed by a franchisee, how many different avenues they can go for business.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone's home, all these different types of contractors, and you know, they can work with to help get business. And, you know, stained glass can go in a lot of different places.
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to thank you, Don. You did a great job today. You know, again, another great show. And
next week, we
have another, you know, great franchise concept. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com. And I guess I'll talk to you next week, Don.
Definitely.
Have a great day, Don.
You too.
Thanks, Joe. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.